Lama reingucken. Let's take a look inside in a beautiful Rashba. Here we are at the close of this sugya. Rav Ashi's solution to Rava. Abai and Rava both handling how do you understand the first din in the Mishnah? Cheskes habatim gimel shanim. How do you have edus and a cheskes habatim? A commercial property is only tashmisha bayom. So you have edim. So that the fellow used it consistently bayom. Easy. I mean, you have to work it out, but we understand how easily understand how it can be done. But how are you going to even structure? How do you even imagine edim and a cheskes habatim? You need edus bayom ubalayla. So Abaye had said what we showed him interpreted as essentially Eidus Idiya, below Eidus Re'iya. The Shivavi made the Yadi, your standard Eidim on Cheskabatim are Shivavi, they know. They didn't see you in your house every single moment, but they would have known. They would know if you were gone. Maybe. Shivavi made the Yadi. That was Abaye. Rava, as we saw, most Rishonim assume Rava is not disagreeing, he is adding, in addition to Shivavi, there's another way to solve this problem. And we saw somebody Shalom point out, you sometimes may need another way. You're not always going to have Shivavi. Let's say you live in a property that's very, very distant. You have no immediate neighbors. Or your neighbors are not kosher leidus. Your neighbors are not Jews. Or for some other reason, not kosher leidus. Or the neighbors just moved in the last 2 years. So they haven't been here for a full cheskes habatim. They're not going to be helpful. Or the neighbors just left, whatever it is. The neighbors are, or you don't have a good relationship with your neighbors. And it would be beyond awkward to ask your neighbors to please come be mayor on your behalf. These neighbors have actively been trying to get you to move out of the neighborhood. The last thing they're going to do is come to Beis Din and explain why you are the rightful owner. Adrav, they wish the old guy would come back. So for a wide variety of reasons, Shivvi may not be practical. Rava says there is another way at times. If all the stars are aligned, if all the facts fall into place, then sometimes you can have another set of Edim. And who is that? Rava said, Sochrim. If the Machzik didn't live in the house himself, but he claims that he rented it out, so then the tenants will be made. And they are there by Yom Ubalayla. They are there by Yom Ubalayla. But Irav Yemer says, are they going to be Nogim Be'edusan? They have the information, but it's not acceptable. Beis Din is not going to listen to them because they have so much skin in the game. Because if there's a new landlord, now they're going to owe him money. And unlike the Shar Mishpat, they're going to owe him money. So they're going to have a new rent bill. Why is it a new rental that Rabbi Yonah and the Rashba and Shar Mishpat all dealt with? Why isn't it a wash? It's not a wash for a variety of reasons. Lamaisa, at least it's an aggravation if they have to pay the new guy and try to get a refund for the old guy. The refund may not even work. Maybe there is no refund to be had. It's not enough of a refund. Lamaisa, they are Nogin Be'edusan. They have a lot riding on who is the owner of the property. And Rav Ashi answers, obviously, we're only talking about Sochrim or Kashul Eidos. Number one, I talk Sochrim or not Trovim Zelazet. We talk Sochrim or are male Jews above Bar Mitzvah. And we talk Sochrim or not Nogim Eidus. How could it be that Sochrim not Nogim Eidus? You're going to knock the Agrav Yadayu. They haven't paid yet. They have 3 years worth of rent money in an envelope. And they say, Lama Neisvei. They come to Beis Din and say, we know we're supposed to give it to the owner. We thought we were giving it to the Machazik. Okay, rabbis. Honor judges, if you tell us to give it to someone else, we'll give it to someone else. We don't care. The money's in the envelope. We thought that he's the owner. If he's not the owner, mail. Okay. So the mail they have no negias. But here the Rashba quotes the Kasha of the Ravid. 1 second. We cut them out of the case so much that they have no negias. So we're willing to listen to what they have to say. The problem is we didn't leave them with anything worth saying. V'im tomar, heyach alsad lo chazaka bekach. Inside in the Rashba, diba masal v'ukmer Rashi zukimta, a sabu kimta, not only sokrim, but specifically they have the agrabi adayu. V'im tomar, heyach alsad lo chazaka bekach. But then where's the chazaka? What are they coming to tell us already? The Hakayim on Deka Chazaka Knasas Peres Lebayis. Isn't the main Chazaka, the core of the Chazaka, is literally or figuratively bringing the fruits into the house. If it's a farm, if it's an orchard, and I have a Chazaka on a plum orchard, a Japanese cherry orchard, which presumably produced not only pretty blossoms, but also Japanese cherries. So we did whatever work you have to do on an orchard. You're not planting every year, but whatever you do for the upkeep of the, whatever maintenance you do on the trees and on the soil, you fertilize and you prune the trees, I guess, whatever else you're doing to keep things in good shape. And then harvest season, you harvest the fruits and you sort out take out all the psolas. And then you bring it into the warehouse, bring it into the silo, bring it into the barn. Hachnasas Peres Lebayis. You have all those steps, but the ikar is the final step. The ikar is not just that I'm doing malacha, I'm doing avoda. That's important too, but the ikar is that I'm actually bringing in revenue. So if it's a Japanese cherry orchard, literally Hachnasas Peres Lebayis. If it's a wheat field, so then almost literally, not Peres Mamish, but you bring in the tavua, the produce into the house. If it's a if it's a factory, so I am, where's my Hachnasas Peres Lebayis there if it's a factory? Well, I'm producing items and I'm selling them and I'm making money. Or at the very least, I'm producing the items. Where's the Hachnasas Peres Lebayis on a residential property? See? Yeah. Right, so either Mavish, I'm living there every day, I'm getting enough from directly, or right, if it's a rental property, the business model of buying property, there are different real estate business models. One way to make money of real estate is buy and sell. The other way to make money of real estate is buy and hold. But if you're buying and holding, usually what that means is I'm buying, holding, even if I buy a distressed property, I'm going to fix it up and then sell it at a premium. And the idea, obviously, is that the difference between the buy rate and the sell rate is a lot more than the expenses in improving it. Or I'm going to buy it, fix it up, and then rent it out. Buy and hold and rent it out. And then my income stream is that I have tenants, and my tenants are paying me rent every month. So that's the payers. That's the payers of a residential rental property. That's the core of the chazaka, is not only all the steps of work that I'm doing, but the fact that I'm gaining something from it on a regular basis. I haven't gotten any payers yet. They haven't paid me rent in 3 years. So that's like saying I was working on the Japanese cherry trees, but I had never brought any cherries home. So it's very nice you were very busy fertilizing and pruning and fixing the fences. That's beautiful. You never brought him any cherries. So where's your cheskes habatim? Where is your cheskes habatim? So that's the Ravid's kasha. The Ravid has this kasha. You have the drawing with the windows. They're trying to tell you. If you look at the sheet with the fences, we don't have. Why are you just looking at Ravid?
We don't have it.
You don't have it. It does exist. We don't have it. I think I mentioned to you that the Miiri has nicknames for every single Rishon. Consistent nicknames. Nice nicknames. Beautiful. But he has a euphemism, so to speak. For every Rishon has a title. He never called anyone by name. And you would think that Rashi, he called Rashi Gedolei Rabbanan, the great rabbi, the great posse. The Rav, exactly. Rashi's the Rav, and he called the Ravid, who we think of as the master of Hasagos. Our primary interaction with the Ravid, most guys in Yeshiva, primary interaction with the Ravid is the Ravid's Hasagos and the Rambam. Sometimes on the bottom of the rib, he's massing on the rib, he's massing the Baal Amar, he's massing on everyone. But the Miri didn't call the Gedolei HaMasik, called the Gedolei HaRefarshim. Apparently, at the time, the Ravid was famous for his Perush. We have the Perush Ravid on Bava Kama, Kedushin, and bits and pieces elsewhere. But apparently, we showed him often, we'll quote him on the Beseptus, we unfortunately don't have the original. So here, and she did the Beseptus, and the Rashba, both quote the Ravid. And here he raised this question. You've cut out so much of the action here that he's not an Ogea Beavis, but he's also not a worthwhile thing. Two things. Here it's a Ravid.
The Rebbe said, that's the answer. Yom Shekas Mishkar Chalbalas Ar. This is where we left off yesterday.
The Rebbe says it must be that you wrote a Shkar Chol, an IOU note on the rent. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because as we were saying yesterday, you want them to have paid rent and not paid rent. You want to have it both ways. We want them to have, on the Cheskes Habatzim side, we want that they paid rent. On the, because otherwise they have nothing of substance to say. On the Nignogin Be'edus side, we want them to have not yet paid rent, so they have no difficulty with paying the other guy instead. So what that means is, if you think about it, we want the supposed new owner to have received something. He needs achnasas peres l'bayis, but we want the eidim to still be unattached. So how is it that the eidim are still unattached, but the balabayis already got something? So the answer is, we'll give you an almanas. The Rebbe doesn't say it's beferish, but I assume that's what he means. We're giving you a shtar chov that explains why I owe you the money. Not stam, I wrote a note that says, yes, I know I owe you $10,000, but a note that says, yes, I know that I owe you $10,000 for rent of the following property, which you own, you know, over the last X number of months or years. So then, you have it both ways, Rebbe says. Because on the one hand, he has something. He has something that it'll be easier to take to the bank. And once he has that shtar, so it's the beginning of the payment process. On the other hand, I didn't actually give him hard cash. It's basically an almanas. If the Rebbe doesn't say it, but I assume he must mean that if the shtar specifies I owe you the money because of rent, so if Bazin comes to the decision, the verdict, the gzardin, psakdin rather, that this property doesn't actually belong to him, so then the whole shtar is irrelevant. He's not going to get anything. If you go to Bazin with that shtar, they're going to laugh him out of court. he said he owes you money for rent. It wasn't your house. We went through this already. If I gave him actual cash, so then I need to get the cash back. Right now he's holding the cash and I'm in trouble. I need to get the cash back. It'll at the very least be agita, aggravation, and maybe I won't even succeed in getting the money back because of whatever obstacles he'll put up. But if I just gave him a shtar, he needs to get the money from me. We started the process, something happened, so maybe the Rebbe says that's enough that we could call that achilas peres, at least the beginning of achilas peres. But at the same time, in case number one goes awry, I'm sitting pretty. Yeah. Questions. Bunch of questions.
Why would you not even get 80%?
What do you mean?
You still get less.
The
closest thing to
the money. Yeah. Oh, that's why. So again, so Ezra's asking, why aren't I still a nogei of the eidus? So this is where this Rajba plugs into the previous Rajba and Ben Yonah. Why is he a nogei of the eidus? Like, after all, it's a wash. Right, so what were the answers? Well, the reason why I'm a nogei be'edus is because even though I'm going to get money from him and give it to him, it's not going to be so simple to get the money back from the machzik. A, I'm going to have to go to Bazin to get it back. B, he may succeed in not paying me. But here, I don't have to go to Bazin. I didn't give him anything. He may come after me, and they're going to laugh at him. Right, the cash is still in my pocket. That's what's different. Yeah. So drop lower. I have to hear you over the thing.
Two things. Why the star? Why the star?
Keep it up. If it's important, keep it up. It's up to you
with that. Why the star both similar to Paris? I don't know. And also, why haven't the Icarus has not gone to Paris with Elias, why have we not seen anything about this before?
Two good questions. So again, question number one is, what does the Shtar Chov do? Question number two, What's the usefulness of the Shtar Chov? Question number two, why haven't we heard yet about the notion that the Iker of the Chazaka is the Peros? So in terms of the first question, what does the Shtar do? So the truth is, this year is Shnas HaShemitah, and the whole Masechta dedicated to Shemitah, Masechta Shvi'is, in the middle of Zeran. The last perek is dedicated to specifically Shemitah's Karkos. The first 10 perekim are dedicated to Shemitah's, excuse me, the last perek is dedicated to Shemitah's Ksafim. The first time property dedicated to Shemitah's Karkos, all the agricultural aspects. There are many different agricultural aspects. There are limitations on Melechas HaKarka. There are also dinim that apply to the Peir Shvias. They have Kedusha, how you eat them, the din of beer, and so on and so forth. We heard Rabbi Joel Cohen speak about some of that earlier this year. And then, apart from all the different aspects of the Shemitah's Karkos, there's also Shemitah's Ksafen. The loans are canceled. We pass like those who say the loans will be canceled at the end of the year, right before Rosh Hashanah, the coming Rosh Hashanah of Tavshin Pei Gimel. That's why there's going to be a run on the Prisma market in a couple of months before Rosh Hashanah, because that's what's going to stave off any Shemitah Ksafen that would otherwise happen as the next Rosh Hashanah comes in, because we assume that the Shemitah Ksafen is Besof Hashanah. So it's interesting, the Mishnayos in the last paragraph of Shvias, there's no Bavli on Shvias. There is, as an aside, the Gemara in the middle of Maseches Gittin, one of the Mishnayos there mentions Prisbul, so that already gets the Gemara started on going through the Mishnayos in that last parak. Yeah, the sugyas on those Mishnayos appear in the middle of Gittin. So one of the dinim is that Prisbul only applies if I smash your window Erev Rosh Hashanah, so I can't turn around, and you didn't get a chance to do anything about it until after Rosh Hashanah, you were running to shul. I'm in a rush to get to shul for davening Leil Rosh Hashanah. I decided I wanted to get there early. Didn't really work out so well. I'm in a rush. I pull into the parking lot and I scrape someone else's car. I smash his mirror, whatever it is. Mamash, I mazik someone 10 minutes before Rosh Hashanah. Wow, good deal. No, I don't owe anything because 10 minutes from now, Rosh Hashanah comes. Boom, Shemitah's Ksafim. You don't owe him any money. Is that true?
No.
Why?
It's not a loan.
What? Exactly, because Shemitah's Ksafim only applies to a chov that's based on a loan. Right. So if I owe someone money, for some other reason, because I was mazakim, or because he's an employee, I haven't paid his salary yet, or because I bought something from him and I haven't paid him the demand mekachet, so on and so forth. So Shemitah is not Meshameh. Shemitah is Meshameh a halva'a or a chov stam. If it's just a blank, flavorless loan, just a stam obligation, that's also Shemitah's Meshameh. A loan is sort of the equivalent of a chov stam. So the Mishnayos actually say that something to do what's called zekifas milva. I owe you money for some other reason, I'll stand it up. I'll be zokif, like zokif kefufim. I'll stand it up as a loan. I'll convert it, and as we'll write a document. We'll have an agreement. We'll write a shtar that says it's basically cleaning up the loan. I owe you money. I owed you money for the demand mekach. Now we're putting it into writing because demand mekach. I owe you $100. Right. So now it's clean. Now it's neat. It's sort of converted into a streamlined obligation. So that's more or less what the Rav is talking about here. I, as I said before, I think he has to be assuming that there is a mention in the shtar that the reason why I owe you the money is because of the halva. It's marsha full zekifas milva. It's because of the schiras. So if it's a full zekifas milva, we eliminate any reference to the schiras, so then it's not really going to help. But the point is, it's streamlined, and you're not going to have to run after me for the money. I'm not going to be able to deny that I owe you the money. You have a shtar. You have a shtar where I freely admit I owe the money. And the fact that you still have the shtar means not only that I owed you the money, but that I have not yet paid back because you have a shtar. So it streamlines the chov, and he's a much closer towards getting his money. Now, just a question. I told you, look, I just have to get the cash together. You're like, but you owe me the money. Okay, so let's do a zekifas milva. We'll write a shtar. I'm not going to be able to play games with you. The shtar says I owe the money. Your continued possession of the shtar is valid proof and basin that I haven't yet paid you back. So I can't pull any funny business and say, oh, I paid you yesterday. No, you have the shtar. So it's a win. It's a win for the maskil. So that's presumably what he means. In seeing that type of a shtar chov as a Hachnasas Peres Labayas, or at the very least, I was saying before, it's the beginning of Hachnasas Peres Labayas. Hasn't Mamash gotten the cash yet, but that process is underway, and the Ravitz thinks maybe that's enough. In terms of your other question, so let's wait until we get to the second half of the Ravitz. Yeah?
When we're talking about a star, are we assuming that this is a person who doesn't have the money yet, so that's why he's not paying into a star, or is it because this person is suspicious of the master and doesn't want to hand over the money in case there's something fishy about this? And would that make a difference about...
I'm not sure, but one thing we do know is that the guy hasn't paid rent in 3 years. So I would fully understand a maskir is saying, giving his tenant a hard time. You're a deadbeat tenant. I've been after you for months, for years, to pay your rent. What's the deal? So he says, look, he says, I need something or else you're finding a new place to live. I have to evict you.
He's still living there.
Okay. So, but the masker says, I need something. Let's negotiate for something. He says, look, I'll write you a shtarchov. Okay. Shtarchov, and I need payment within 6 months. Something like that. That's a reasonable scenario. Yeah. Rafi.
I still get, what does the shtarchov accomplish?
It streamlines the process. It also, as I was saying before, it gives the maskir proof that the debt has it's an admission of obligation by the tenant. Number one, he can't say I don't really owe you the money. I never lived here. We didn't agree. He can't play funny business in terms of what the chiyuv is, nor can he play funny business in terms of saying that I paid you back. Right, the two classic types of kofar hakol. When you have a towing and nitan, and Reuben says to Shimon, for every reason you owe me money, because you're a mazik me, because you hired me, because you bought something from me, because I lent you money, whatever it is, right? Reuben says to Shimon, you owe me money. Reuben is a towing, Shimon is a nitan. So classically, there are two typical ways that Shimon could say I'm potter. The two typical ways that Shimon could be kofar bakol, say no, I owe you nothing. Either you say I never became chayev to you. The story never happened. I never was mazik you. I never borrowed money. I never hired you. Lo hayu dvar me olam. Lahadam. Which is good to know. You will see these Russian papers. Lahadam is lo hayu dvar me olam. It never happened. Otherwise known as lo nizchayavti. I never became chayavti. The other type of kofar call is harati.
Yeah. Of course I owed you the money. I paid you back last week. And those are your two classic types of kofar bakol. A shtar solves both of them. Those who get to the end of the Masechta, the end of Paraget Pashat, and yes, you all saw the Purim signs outside of Gluck, right? Is Bava Basra upset at Gittin for stealing Hanizakin, or is Gittin upset at Bava Basra stealing Get Pashat? But Lamaisa, there is a Paraget Pashat at the end of Masechta's Bava Basra. And the next time you see a Tysus coin get Pasha, you know not to look in Gittin. It's the last paragraph about Basra. It's about Shtaros. At the end, there's some very, very sadistic sugyas. Maybe we'll see them before the end of the year, of Shtaros and Chov and Shibud at the end of Get Pasha. And specifically, the Mishnayos point out that part of the gain of having a Shtar, if the Toein, the Motzi, has a Shtar, it disproves both of these claims. You can't say you don't owe me any money if I have a shtar that you owe me money. And you can't either say that you paid me back because then shtarach biyadi my boy. Why do I have the shtar if you paid me back last week? You wouldn't have paid me back last week without insisting on getting the shtar back. Right? When you finally pay up the mortgage, you once upon a time, this is out of style, but once upon a time, like in the mid-1900s, it was a big deal when the shul paid up their mortgage. It took out a mortgage in order to build a building. And then you're paying off 15, 20, 30 years. And finally, they make the last payment. The bank gives you back the documents. And it used to be in vogue that either would mamash make a separate dinner for this, or at the annual dinner, there would be like this ceremonial burning of the mortgage documents.
They'd make a kiddush.
They're not going to burn the mortgage documents at a kiddush.
No, Rebbe, for the sake of burning the document
on top. So burning the documents, but that's a very vivid example of this. That calls man that the
Balchol, the towing, the motzi, has the shtar, it proves not only that once upon a time there was a chiyuv, but it proves that the chiyuv still exists, it has not yet been satisfied. When you satisfy, when the guy makes his payment, you give back the, you relinquish the shtar. And presumably the one who just finished paying is going to want to destroy the shtar so it can never be used against him again. So in terms of the goal of giving a shtar chov, the shtar chov clarifies that he was nischayev and how much, and the shtar chov also clarifies it has not yet been paid back. So definitely the socher is giving the masker something of substance by giving him a shtar chov. It is a win. It is a win. Yeah, Jos. Yonah makes an interesting point. The whole, it's sort of ironic. The Raiva just introduced a new star into the picture. The whole reason why we have Chesed Batim is because the Machazik lost his old star. If the Machazik had the star Mechira, he wouldn't need to bother with the Chesed Batim. The reason why he has the star Mechira is because he doesn't have. The reason why he has the Chesed Batim is he doesn't have his star Mechira anymore. So it is sort of ironic that the solution is, well, there must be some other star. True, that is ironic. It's not a kasha, it's ironic. It's not a kasha because this shtar chov is being generated 3 years later. Right? In other words, right now it's tashin pei beis. So the machazik claims, truthfully or not, that he bought the property from the marakama in tashin ayin tes. And at the time they had written a shtar, but out of the 3 years I lost the shtar. Right? The shtar mecher is going to be 3 years old. This shtar chov, though, is what? The shtar chov was written recently by the socher in tashin pei beis. Because a month ago, the masker says, I came to my socher, I say, pal, what's the deal? You haven't paid me rent in 3 years. What's the story? So he epkes and bepkes and da-da-da-da-da, and hems and haws, like he's been doing for the last 3 years. And I said, no, gnuk, it's been 3 years, you haven't paid me. You got to pay, or else you're going to have to find, I have to take a different tenant instead. You're going to have to leave. I have to take a different tenant who pays me. I can't go without the lease money. So he says, I'll write you a shtar. So he wrote your shtar now. So that's a shtar that didn't get lost in the last month. Yeah.
So then once they pay,
so
then where's your
raya
at all?
Oh. If you have tenants who pay, then they are not valid either.
Even after,
right. It only works called that's what Rav Ashi said. It only works Kalzman that they haven't paid. As a matter of fact, we showed him even raised an interesting question, which I don't want to dive into. Let's say they did pay. They're good people. They paid every month. Honest people. So can I turn around and give them the money back so that they lose their negius? So that most Rishonim assume that does not work. Okay, you can imagine why. But let's come back here. You are right, though. Let me take more questions afterwards. You are correct, also, Yonah, pointing out that it does make it an even further ukimta. One difficulty with this Ravid is, one second. So now Rav Ashi's case is, number one, Sochrim. Number two, they haven't paid yet at all. And number three, they did write a shtar chov. Now, again, if they haven't paid yet at all, it's not totally unreasonable, they would have written a shtar chov. Mistama the maskir would push back at some point. But we're super okimting. So, but that was the Raiva's answer. Now we appreciate what the Raiva is driving at. What does the Rashba say? The aim shtar chov holds that. And that's where the language of the Rashba flows. They said, you don't need this. He's not necessarily saying he thinks the Raiva is wrong. Raiva's din is wrong. One could have said the Raiva's din is wrong. One could have said that some of you were driving at, who says getting a shtar chov is achnasas peiros? I don't actually have cash. I'm in process. That's like planting. It's not like harvesting. Okay. Or it's harvesting, but not bringing it into the house. You could have pushed back against the Raiva and said, who says the Raiva's din is even correct? Maybe this doesn't count as achnasas peiros. So the Raiva doesn't go that route. He says, maybe what he says is sufficient, but it's unnecessary. Ain't sorrow holds that. You don't have to make a further sub ukimta. Nah, even without a shtar chov.
He says, I reject the Raya's fundamental point. This may come back a little bit to Meir's second question also. The Rashba says to the Ravid, you're looking in the wrong place. You're making an assumption that the Chesed Sabbatim is built on the fact that the guy is getting his rent money. He didn't get his rent money, no Chesed Sabbatim. Oh, it must be the Ravid says creatively, well, he didn't. He didn't get paid. He got paid, but not with cash. He got paid with a check. Basically, that's what we're saying. Right? He got a shtar chov, but he didn't get cash. So the Rashba says, nah, even if he didn't get anything, you don't have to get paid to have a Chesed Sabbatim. Elatash v'shabatim hu peirosav. The hishtamshus is itself the peiros. It's enough that they live there. There are people living there. That's the chesed sabatim. There are people living there. Gvaldik. So you don't need the shtarchov. So we reduce the third degree of ukimta. That's good. What's the problem? What's the obvious problem with what the Rashba said? Yeah, it's the wrong guy. If the Socher won't have a Chesed Sabbatim, that's Gevaldik. But out of the fact that the Socherim live there, what does that do for me? Harei Socherim Elu, see, he goes on, he's obviously attuned to that. Harei Socherim Elu Ochlu Peirosav Machamaso Ubishlichuso. That's a loaded phrase. He says, these tenants, they're not Stam living there. They're living there Machamaso Ubishlichuso. Because of him, and in his shlichus, they're living there on his behalf. They're living there at machmaso as a result of him. In other words, they don't claim to be living here as owners. They claim to be living here because that guy gave us permission to live here because we rented from him, and therefore they are bishlichuso. They're shluchim. Fascinating. The afilo hishilon la'achirim also chazaka. Then the Rashba has a closing line. Says, yo. Even if he lends them the property, it's still going to be a chazaka. What point did the Rashba just make? That's not just a detail. Tell me, it's a new din. Well, why is the Rashba raising that all of a sudden now at the end? What's his point? And then we'll come back to the Bishli Chuso. Yeah.
The Maksif doesn't need any extra.
Right. This is a big nafkamina. This is not Stam a side point. This is a big. He's demonstrating a very significant nafkamina between himself and the Ravid. If I lend the property, someone means I say, you know, I have a house, I'm not living in it. Because I'm telling you, here's a young couple that just got married, they don't have the funds to cover rent. I say, you know what, I'm not using the house anyways, I won't be there the next 3 months, because then you can be there. Or in this case, 3 years. So the Rashba says, oh, that's valid chesed sabbatim. What would the Ravid say about that? I lent my property to someone else for free. Would the Ravid see that as a chesed sabbatim on behalf of the supposed owner or not?
No, because you need a
peiros. Right, absolutely not. Where's the peiros? I'm not getting anything out of it. The owner is getting nothing. He's not getting a revenue stream.
Is he assuming that he's going to get paid eventually or not?
No. Hish Elon. I told people I'm not living in the house anyways. I tell this young couple you can live there for free for the next 3 years. So the Ravid would say, where's the cheskes abat? Where's the hishtamshus? It's like near. You just let the land lie fallow. You didn't set yourself up to make any money off of it. So Ravid says there's nothing, and the Rashba says that's great. I mean, you had people living there, and by the way, Adaraba. Well, no, leave that to Adar. But the Rashba would say that's gevaldik. The Rashba would say, that's great. You had a hishtamshus, there are people living on the property. The problem is, they live in the property, yeah, what do you want to say? Correct, very good, very good. So that's why the Gemara didn't mention Hish Elon in our context, because these guys are super no gimbe dusan, because this goes back to the last line, the Rabbeinu Yonah, right? He said, if the machzik offer them a better deal, a discount on the rent, the greatest discount is 100% discount. They say you can live here for free, so obviously I'm not going to get a refund if it gets taken away from him. And meanwhile, the Marakama, if the Marakama is reinstated as the owner, he's going to say, you owe me rent, whatever my market price is. I'm not going to gouge you. Whatever going rate is for this type of, this size apartment in this market, Yomi, right? So clearly that we incredibly nogin bei dusan. Incredibly nogin bei dusan, but in principle, correct. In principle, it should be a. It's an act of chazaka. It's an act of chazaka. But you are right that practically speaking, there are going to be nogin bei dusan. But let's say that l'may nafkamina, atali nafkamina. Let's say you have shivavi on the shalom. The practical nafkamina, Akiva is right. You have to leg to another twist. I didn't fully appreciate until moments ago what Akiva was asking. Akasha, I wasn't just making hara. Akiva was asking, the Rashba says the nafkamina to myself and the Raiva, you have to hold cup. This is a little extra step here. The Rashba said nafkamina to myself and the Raiva, again, the Machlok is the Rashba and the Ravid is what is the Achilas Peiros on a rental property? So the Ravid said, getting the schar, getting the money, getting paid. The Ravid said it's the landlord getting paid, and the Rashba said no, it's the diras hasokrim. The fact that they're living there is in and of itself the Achilas Peiros. Why that is, we're going to get back to in a moment. That whole machmasov v'shlichuso. But first, let's just think this out a little bit. So the Rashba said in the closing line, and again, if you're sort of swinging through, you could miss it, but he wasn't stopped adding a new din. He was making a point that directly falls to what he just said, which is, I hold, the Rashba says, that even if they were shoalim, and they weren't paying me any rent, they were just there for free, the Rashba would never say that that's called chesed about them, that there's no, you're not making any money off of it. But if you're looking at the dira, the people are living there, again, the language was machmaso ubishlichuso. So then look, it doesn't matter if they paid me already, or they're going to pay me, or they're not going to pay me at all, because it was just a gift. And not only a gift of property, but it was a she'ela. I let you stay there for free. So the Rashba says, according to the Ravid, she'ela is not a valid chesed. And according to me, it is. Fret Akiva, what do you mean? But if they're shoalim, they're for sure no gimbei dusan, because they don't know. There's no sharchom. There's no nothing. They don't owe any money. They never owed, never will owe any money to the machazik. But if the marakama gets the property back, they'll owe him rent. So fret Akiva, how could the Rashba say that shoalim are valid cheskzabatim according to the Rashba? What do you mean? And no gimbei dusan. So I think the answer is going to have to be in a chanami. The shalom themselves cannot serve as what's so called. The shalom themselves cannot serve as aidim. But if the neighbors say yes, we know that that guy had his grandchildren, his grandson just got married, and the newlyweds were living there for the last 3 years. The newlyweds don't claim to be the owner of the property. Their grandparents claim to be the owner of the property. And the Shivvi said, yeah, we know that the newlyweds were living there for 3 years, day and night. Shivvi made the Yadi.
Oh, they're the Shainer.
No, Shainer. So in that case, and then the newlyweds were open with the neighbors. They say, oh, you're living, your boys? And no. They say, no, we're grandparents, we're grandchildren of the people who you know bought it, and grandma and grandpa said they're glad for us to stay here. So the Shivvi have seen the grandchildren here. So you're right, the newlyweds anyways are married to each other, they couldn't be made anyways in this case, but it doesn't matter. They're no good. But everyone else, the neighbors have no negias. The neighbors see this. The question is this a hishtamshus? So the rivals would say is nothing. Rabbi would say on a schiras the achilas peiros is a kabbalas aschar, but the Rashba said no, it's a dira, it's all about the dira. So if you have edus that the shoal and we're dar there by yom ha'layla for 3 years, according to Rashba, it would be valid. Wow, lots of questions. Yeah, let's work around the room.
Why aren't the neighbors near the edus? Like you said previously, the whole case of the rabba.
is to say, oh, let's say neighbors don't, let's say they don't want to testify because they don't like the, they don't like their views, or because they're not going to have to have a relationship with them. So let's say they do like that, right?
Wait a second. The Gemara only raised no gay babies by Rava. Abaye said neighbors, and the Gemara let that go.
I know.
Rava said tenants, and the Gemara said tenants.
But
tenants have a negia.
No, but neighbors, let's say they like their
person who's living in the room. Yeah. I'm not sure that necessarily, because the fact that I have some social interest, some social benefit, I'm not sure that necessarily makes them no gay babies. Here, there's a real financial interest. Tens of thousands of dollars. Sometimes an oev or a sone might be puzzling. You have to, if it's really extreme, so then that takes you back to Sanhedrin to figure out, okay, he mamish hates his guts. So then they have to figure out as he puzzles. But this is the fact that, you know, it would be more pleasant to have one as neighbor than the other. I don't think that rises to the level of a halakhic idea. Yeah.
According to the Rashba,
yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. At what point do you say there's enough interaction that there isn't a gear? It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Yeah.
At least according to the right, why does there need to be a connection between the people being Shamish and the Elias and the Masjid? Meaning, can you say that the Barakama should have passed it anyway for these people, even if there was no Kabbalah desire, and even if there's no, if it wasn't, there weren't a Shlichus of the Masjid, still the Barakama should have protested because there's people that are being Shamish in his life for the last 3 years.
Maybe, and this may take us back to thinking about. How you understand Mizdar and Ishbashtare. Right. On the other hand, to what extent does it relate to proof that I do own it? But Shtikas Marakama, does the Shtikas Marakama prove that it's mine? Maybe. And that may be why, and coming back to your question also, that may be why who writes the footnotes on the Rashba? Rav Eliyahu Lichtenstein? No, it's Rabbi Katzin Elenbogen. So he points out that the language of the Rashba is worth thinking about. That's always true. But here in particular, the Ramban writes that he is that they are his shluchim, shlucho shel adam kemoso. That's the way the Ramban presents. Ramban also, Rashba's Rebbe, also disagrees with the Ravid. He says, nah, you don't need to get paid. It's the dearest hasochim because shlucho shel adam kemoso. The Rashba and other Yishanim also have that language, shlucho shel adam kemoso, which is the formal halachic halal about shlichas, that if I make you my shaliach to be mafresh truma on my behalf from my property, or I'll take a question soon, or I make you my shaliach to buy a property on my behalf, or I make you my shaliach to be makarish a girl on my behalf, it's not the most romantic thing. The Gemara does not recommend saying your shaliach for kiddushin. You should come. Show up to your own chuppah, please. That's all, chuppah. Show up to your own kiddushin. But in theory, too busy at the office. Disturbing question. No, the truth is they were at a great distance. Still, something that strikes us as unusual. But the din is that in many, many areas, I can have someone be my agent and do something that will count for me. Shlucho shel adam kemoso. My agent, my shlich, is like me.
So my shliach did a ma'aseh kiddushin. My shliach did a ma'aseh kiddushin. My shliach did a ma'aseh kiddushin. My shliach did a ma'aseh hafrashas chala, hafrashas trumas and ma'aseh, and so on and so forth. My shliach did it. It's as though I did it. Shluch shor arul kaposta. So many of you showing him Ramban and others have that language. The Rajba though, as it began to know us before, he dilutes it a little bit. Machmasau bishlichusau. It's because of me and with my shlichus. He notably drops the terminology, the principle, shluch shalom kamoso, and sort of dilutes bishlichusau with machmasau. So mistama, what the Rajba is driving at, is that shlichus doesn't really fit here. And this takes us back. It takes us back to what we mentioned yesterday. At the beginning of yesterday's shiur, we were talking about Eschaibus Lidasaros, the middle of the Torah. I mentioned to you yesterday, if you remember, that Reb Chaim and Reb Elchanan Wasserman divide all chaluyos in halacha into those that are driven by das versus those that just are driven by a maisa. Kinyanim, hafarshas trumas samaisaros, nadarim are things that I created through my decision-making power, through my das adam, through my das bila. I have the right to decide my marital status. I have the right to decide nadarm that I will or won't take. I have the right to decide about the how to dispose of property that I own. So you need my das, can you? You need my das, get into kedusha. You need my das, haflah, in order to make those things happen. What did he say yesterday? The shechita makes the animal kosher because the shechita was done. I can't. Tevila makes the person or the kli tar because the tevila was done. It doesn't matter. I don't have to decide that the animal is kosher. That's why, for instance, if I shecht your animal without your permission, that was an act of gezel. That was keneged adin, was an aveira, and I may have to pay you if I reduce the value of your animal. I'm a mazik, but the animal is kosher. You wouldn't say that because you didn't agree to the shechita, therefore the shechita didn't work. You don't need das bailim. It's a reality. The animal got a proper shechita. The animal is kosher. You were a mazik, so that's a problem. But it doesn't. But the heter that comes through the shechita doesn't require das bailim. If I tovel your kalim without your permission, the kalim still got a tefillah. But if I sell your property without your permission, the makan davashen shalom, we need das bailim. There's no das bailim. The Baam didn't make that decision, and it didn't happen. So one of the nafkaminas, I just mentioned one nafkamina is can you do it for someone? Is it valid if you did it for someone else? Another obvious nafkamina is a tenai. I could tell you, I'm selling this almanas that rains tomorrow. Getting married almanas, there's a hurricane. Why? It doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense, but shame. You have das bailim. You can put a switch on your das. You can say I'm only given das on the condition that whatever happens. But I cannot shecht almanas. I cannot tovel almanas. There's no tenai. Another nafkimine is there's no shlichus. Those things that require das lend themselves to shlichus because I can give you my das bailim. So I have the right to make a kinyan on my property, so I can authorize you to act to express das on my behalf. I can authorize you, presumably, to be mafresh challah. The bakery owner is not there in the bakery, so he'll make the mashkiach, he'll make one of the employees his shaliach to be mafresh challah on his behalf, or shliach for get, or shliach for kiddushin, or shliach for a kinyan, for a mekach or memker, and so on and so forth. If it's something that's totally in das, so then I can give that das over to you. But here, it's not that I'm creating a chalos through my das. I'm making you the shliach to create the chalos on my behalf. That's not what's going on here at all. I'm not creating a chalos in that sense. When we say shlichus here, we don't mean shlichus in the formal sense. That's presumably why the Rashba was softening the language. I don't mean literally shlichus. Shluch sham kamoso. If it was a kinyan chazaka, if I asked you, if I said Shnei Chaim, I'm not around, but there's a property that a fellow wants to sell me the property, and he's told me lei chazekukni. He just texted me, go ahead and do a chazaka. Nal gadar parat. Right? The mission later in the parak.
I'm not around, I'm not available, I'm in meetings all day. So your next door neighbor, you're working from home, can you pop out for a moment and do a kinyan chazak on the property on my behalf? So that would work. That's real shlichus. You're doing the maisa kinyan, you're expressing das kinyan on my behalf, and with you're doing the maisa kinyan chazak, no gadar parts to the karka, on my behalf, shulchus shalom kamoso, I was kona the karka. Thank you very much for helping out. But here we're not talking about kinyan chazak, here we're talking about the hishtamshus, achilas peiris. What type of shlichus? Not create any chalos. It's a raya. I'm not creating a status change. That goes back, by the way, to what we discussed yesterday also. That's why the Birkas Avram and his Talmud suggested against the Shara Mishpat, you can't say how Daz Baldin on the Cheskes Abatim. Cheskes Abatim is just a clue. It's not actually making something happen. Cheskes Abatim is just evidence. We're aggregating evidence. So what do you mean shlichus? What do you mean by shlichus? So what the Rosh presumably is driving at is it's not like formal shulchan shalom kamoso. What he means is like this. I'll give you a mashal. I'll give you a mashal hilchus mezuzah. That's not an exact mashal, but it's pretty close. Aruch HaShulchan discusses this. Shechter quotes this from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Let's say a family builds a house, buys a house, renovates a house. Now they're moving in or they're moving back in. So you got to put up mezuzahs. So you ask the Rav to come by and do a walkthrough. There are many fascinating shots in the Hilchos Mezuzah. Some has to do with structurally. You have to have the right size room. It has to be arranged the right way. The doorway has to be built in a way that's chayav mezuzah. Sometimes, as I mentioned to some of you, you have to figure out right and left. I have a living room, dining room, and kitchen that all feed into one another. Which way is right, which way is left is a good question. How to put up mezuzah? And sometimes it's a question of whether a particular room is chayiv, not because of structural consideration. Maybe structurally it has the right size and it has the roof and it has a beautiful doorway and a door. But sometimes the room will be puffed because it doesn't have the functionality. In order for a room to be chayiv mezuzah, it has to be beisecha. It has to be a bias. It has to fit the rules of being a bias, dalet amos, and so on and so forth. And the doorway has to fit certain structural rules, and has to be beisecha. It has to be a house that you live in. So there are different rules for what constitutes valid dira to be chayiv in a mezuzah. It has to be diras kavod, as opposed to a bathroom is used all the time, but that's not, that functionality is not dignified, and therefore is not mechayiv in a mezuzah. It has to be diras keva, as used on a regular basis. Diras keva also means it has to be stationary. An RV or a tent is not chayiv mezuzah. But most fundamentally, it has to be beisecha. You have to use it. So let's say you have a non-Jew who lives in the basement. Let's say you have a non-Jewish, have a Jewish family that has a non-Jewish domestic help, and he or she have their own room in the basement. That's their private room. That's where they live, and that's part of the deal. They have a room in the house, and they and that's their room. So the question is, do I have a chiyuv mezuzah on that room? Not my dira, it's her dira. Not my dira, it's his dira. Christina has no chiyuv mezuzah. She's not mechuyav. She's mechuyav in shemitz meinach. Mezuzah is not one of them. So is there a chiyuv mezuzah on the room that's dedicated to the mishareses nochras? Is that based? I own it, but it's not my hishamsh. If I own a property that's empty, no one is living in, there's no chiyuv mezuzah because there's no dira. So I'm not living in it. She is. I'm not living in it. He is. What would you say? What would you say? So you might say you're not chayiv. So what would you say, Rafi?
I was waiting. It was a different question.
Ah, okay.
Mezuzah is chavas hadar. So she has no chayiv in therefore.
Smari says it's a fair shagimar. Those who learn the beginning of Masechet Pesachim, daf dalad, mezuzah is chavas hadar. Mezuzah's chov is hadar. So how you should say, there's no chiv. If anyone, anything should be her chiv, Christina's chiv. Christina has no chiv mezuzah. So there's no chiv mezuzah. So the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Moshe Feinstein both say that is incorrect. That is incorrect. It is true. Yeah. It's true that if it's the Nachri's house, there's no chiv mezuzah. Says, but here it's my hishtamshus. It's my hishtamshus. Part of my deal with this domestic help. Part of my deal with this individual is that I'm supposed to pay. They have tasks to fulfill, and I owe them salary, and I'm supposed to provide them with a roof. I'm supposed to provide them with a place to stay. So that's my hishtamshus. That's my hishtamshus is that that's where this individual lives. That's my hishtamshus. So that may be it's along the lines of what the Rajba is saying. The person living there is my hishtamshus. Now it's not the same exact thing. I told you before, and I'll explain why. It's not a perfect analogy because if I rent rooms, if I rent an apartment to a nachri. I have no chiyum mezuzah. Matter of fact, even if I rent an apartment to a Jewish tenant, I the landlord have no chiyum mezuzah. It's the tenant's chiyum mezuzah. That's exactly the context of mezuzah chovas hadar. This is a stronger level. Here, it's not even a rental. Here, I'm providing a room. That's why it cuts both ways. When you stay in a hotel, this is a halachic riddle. What's the tzad hashav between a hotel, a hospital, and a prison? Right. Well, the hotel's not free. The hospital's not free. Yeah. But you're on to something. What's common about all? You're right. In all three cases, we assume that the resident has no chiyuv mezuzah, and more to the point, in all three, there's no din of Eruv Chatzeris. If you have multiple households that share a common space, you're not allowed to carry that common space, even though common space has walls around it. Once upon a time we would say a Chatzer. Now they would say the apartment lobby or a municipal Eruv. The municipal Eruv or the apartment lobby, it's Mukhev Mechitis, it's Rosh HaYachid Minat Torah. But Midra Abanan, it looks a little bit like Rosh HaSarabin because there are multiple households that have the right to that space. So you cannot carry there unless you make an Erev Chatzeris, which is a reminder of the fact to a certain extent where we're one larger macro household. We share food. You are where your food is. You have shared food in a single apartment. That's a little bit of a hecker that we're all together in this. So if you have an apartment building, you gotta make Erev Chatzeris or else you can't carry in the lobby. If you're in a municipal Erev, so it's not enough to put poles and strings. You also have to have shared food in someone's house, and that's your Erev Chatzeris. How about if you're in a hotel, stay in a hotel for Shabbos, or someone's in a hospital for Shabbos, or unfortunately, tragically, someone's in prison. So do you have to? I'm sorry.
Hospital can also be tragic.
Hospital can be tragic too. Yes, absolutely. So do you need to make an Erev Chatzeris? A lot of issues have to be dealt with. But Erev Chatzeris is not one of them. Why? So Moshe explains, because the Tzad HaShav of all those three properties is that in all three cases, I don't have rights to a specific room. I'm entitled to a bed, to a room. If I made reservations in the hotel, the most pleasant of the three options, so the management can tell me, I'm sorry, but for some reason we can't put you in that room. We'll give you an equivalent room elsewhere in the building. And I have no time, you know. I have no right to insist on, no, but I want room 312. I want room 471. Doesn't matter. You have rights to a room. Maybe you have rights to a particular rama, a particular type of room. You know, a suite versus a, okay. But I don't have rights to a specific space. And that's true in a hospital and clearly in a prison as well. They're going to give me a place, but I can't, but I won't have rights to a makom miyuchad. I have rights to a makom somewhere in this facility. As a result of my shirites, I'm not even a socher. And we wouldn't see this as separate households that share common space. It's only one household. it's the hotel owner, it's the hospital operator, it's whoever's operating the prison. It's a single household. They gave us places to be. Similar to this, that's an exact analogy to what Rav Moshe and the Aruch HaShulchan write about the Cheder HaMishareses. Now we're looking from the point of view of the landlord instead of the dar. It's the hishtamshus of the landlord. That I need to provide you with a place, and this is a place that I'm providing you. So that's, in a sense, my hishtamshus. So it's not an exact analogy to the Rashba as advertised. It's not an exact analogy, because Rashba is talking about a case where you do have sochrim. Rashba is talking about a case where they rented the space and they can do what they want in the space. But at the same time, I think it's a good marshal. But to an extent, not to the same extent as with respect to Erev Chatzeres, but to an extent, that's my hishtamshus. My hishtamshus is that you're living here. Either my hishtamshus is you're living here, and the reason why I'm interested in that is because sooner or later you're going to pay me rent. But you're living there itself is my hishtamshus. You're there machamasi. Bishluchi machmasi in a general sense, you're living there on my behalf. You're living there because I gave you the right to do that. Even if it's a loan, you're living there because I gave you the right to live there. A. B, I probably have some benefit also. Whether it's emotional benefit, I'm glad that my grandchildren have a place to be, or you know, there's a certain social benefit that I'm giving you, the tovas hana, that you're getting this favor in stomach, you're gonna feeling dead in the future, or that it's a lease and it's going to be payment of rent. But either way, he presumably not saying literally shlichus, like shluch sham kamosa, because again, there's no chalos. But the point is more generally, and this maybe speaks to Yitz's point also, more generally, they're there at my behest. They're there at my permission. They're living there, whether they're Sholem or Sochrim, they're living there at my, may the best words, at my authorization. They're there because I gave them the right to be there. Not Shlichus in a literal sense, but only because I authorized them. A Shlich in a literal sense has the right to do it, make a kinyan. He can buy and sell, or he can give Kiddushin, accept Kiddushin, be Mafer Shala, because I authorized him. If I wouldn't have authorized him, it would be Ein Adam. But now that I authorize him, now he can sell my property. So we don't mean literally here, Shulchan Shalom Kamoso, but he also, I'm doing something only because you're authorized by the owner. So that's Machamaso Bishlichuso. And as such, the Socher's or the Shoel's presence in the property is going to relate back. And in speaking to Yitz's point, not only is it significant that the Marakama knew someone was there, the Marakama knew these kids were living there, he didn't say boo, but not only did he not say boo, and you might have said okay, but he didn't say boo because he didn't think that they are claiming to own it. But they claim to be there on behalf of someone else. They claim to be there birshus, someone else. So not only there's a shtikas marakama, and it relates back to the ones who supposedly authorized it. So that's why this is a significant cheskas abatim, and a significant cheskas abatim that relates back to the supposed machzik, to the supposed landlord. As a matter of fact, that some raise the problem with the Ravid. The Ravid is difficult because what exactly are you seeing? If it's all about the Kabbalah Saschar, no one sees the rental payments. At the very least, the living there has to be a piece of the story, which maybe the Ravid agrees to, but the Rashba says living there is a whole story. The living there, it's not that my personal revenue, it's they are, the Achilles Paris is the living there. If it was a residence that if I buy and live there, the Achilles Paris is living there. And if someone else is living there, they're doing Achilles Paris at my authority. I authorize their Achilles Paris. So that accrues to me as a raya, to me, that I own this karka because they were living there at my permission.
they lived there for, they did a chilas peir for 3 years at my permission, so mela, that's going to be my, that's a right, the shtikas marakama, everything you fit into lomiz dara and ishbishtara is going to accrue back to the guy who gave the ochlim the permission to be ochlim. I gave you permission to be ochlim peiris, so that counts for me. Not shurjam kamoso, no chalois, but the whatever raya we get from the chilas peiris counts for me. Questions? Yeah, Raf, you've been waiting very patiently.
Yeah. According to the Rabbi and Rafa arguing about the necessity of the Dira, because it seems like the Rabbi agrees to some extent that, at least according to Abaye, that the Dira can form a cheskas, or rather a cheskas bias doesn't need actual chias peiros in the sense of like a silcher, even just the Dira of the machzik.
Correct. The Rashba says Dira is good enough without anything else. That's why he says even if you have a shoel who's not paying the landlord anything, it's still the Dira's ha-shoel still counts as Achilles Paris on behalf of the mashiel. Why? Because again, because machma sobish lichuzo. Because that's my ishtamshus. It's my ishtamshus. You're being ochel Paris at my permission, so that counts for me. That counts for me. Yeah, Mayor.
And yes. And stuff. Let me just give the example of the hotel. If someone in theory that like, gets like a certain room that like is the only room in the entire hotel that you get for that specific price or whatever, is that the same thing?
If they do not have the right to move, if management does not have the right to unilaterally move me, so then you would be considered to be more of a full socher. If fundamentally they have the right to move me, this is going to be hard because there's no equivalent room. But Lamaisa, if they could move me, they would have to pay me something. So then I'm not sure. Maybe that's... But let's say you have... Sometimes you have hotels, long-stay hotels, where people take a suite for a month. So I'm not sure. I think some of those, there is more specificity that I'm actually, you know, I'm paying for suite 5C, not just for a 3-bedroom suite. I'm paying for suite 5C. So that's a shayla. Do I have a right to suite 5C or just a 3-bedroom suite? And the in-between case you're giving, I'm not sure what Poskim would say. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. Yitz and then Akiva. I'm sorry.
Why? Are you saying there's no shlichus if it's not like a chalos from das? Wouldn't it be? Yeah, I think it would be a kavah chomer even if you could create das through a shaliach, a kavah chomer, and you could do a maisa that doesn't even require das. That's just the maisa itself will do it. Kavah chomer that.
Well, it's something that just needs a maisa. Often there's no need for shlichus. In other words, if I shecht your animal, so whether or not you asked me to do it is irrelevant from a it's very relevant from a Choshen Mishpat standpoint, but from a Yoredeya standpoint, from a Kashrut standpoint, whether or not you asked me to shecht your animal is irrelevant. If I shechted it properly, then the animal is kosher. So there is no space for Shluch Shalom Kamoso to even operate. Again, it's obviously keneged hadin for me to shecht your animal without your permission. But that's an act, perhaps, of gezel. And certainly, you're adu hamazik. Obviously, it's usser. But yes, I have to have your rishus in order to deal with your property. Otherwise, I'm trespassing and worse. But in terms of the shechita shabo, there isn't any room for shlichus. By shechita's karbanos, there might be. Rav Chanan points it out. But Shita's Karbanos, the Gemara discusses to what extent are the Kohanim Shluchi D'Rachamana, to what extent are Shluchi D'Idan. Are Kohanim acting as a Kadosh Baruch Hu's agents or as our agents? That's because by Avodas HaKarbanos, it's not just the Maisa is done, you're doing it on behalf of, to achieve Kapara for a particular individual or set of individuals. So there's more room to speak about the possibility that the Kohen is acting as Shluchi D'Idan, as a Shaliach of the Baal HaKarbon. But Shechitas Chulin is just, it is what it is. It's a Maisa. You do the Maisa properly, the animal is kosher. There is no Das Baal, there's no Koch Baal.
if someone would hire someone to shakul and then they would use the shaliach, it was a kavlana, and he gets paid to shak this specific animal.
Yeah.
If he would use the shaliach, would he be considered that he fulfilled it, or that someone else did it from there with that? Meaning if it's not, if there's no shalom kavoso, then it's just as if the other guy just did it by himself.
That's what I'm saying. The concept of Shulchan Shalom Kamoso is a specific concept. The concept of Shulchan Shalom Kamoso is that I can authorize you to act on my behalf in a way that will be impactful, halachically impactful. Sometimes, as Rabbi Chanan points out, it's something that you couldn't even do at all without me. You cannot sell my property without my permission. And I'm giving you Das Bailam, I'm making you a Shliach, now you can sell my property. Sometimes Shulchan Aruch Kamoso authorized you to do things you couldn't accomplish at all, and sometimes you were able to do it, but it wouldn't have related to me. Let's say I authorize you to buy a property on my behalf. So you can buy a property without me, it just wouldn't be mine, it would be yours. But by making you a shliach, so now you have the capacity to buy it for me. But either way, there's like a status change. There's a chalos that's happening through the maisa that you're doing. And you need my agency, you need shlichus in order to be able to accomplish it, certainly to accomplish it in a way that's going to accrue to me. But again, when you're talking about, like, I hire a worker to do something, he passes on to someone else to do, that's not shlichus in the formal sense. That's just, I hire you to do a job, did the job get done, did the job not get done, did it get done in a way that I want it to be done? So yeah, there are discussions about Metzia about that in terms of Shomrim, in terms of other types of Polim, but it's not a din of Shlichus. That's not a formal din of Shlichus. And that's probably why the Ramban presumably is using Shulchan Kamosa as an expression. But it doesn't mean that it's hard to imagine, it means it literally. And that's why the Rajba didn't use it at all. Instead, he's the Bishlich Machamaso Bishlichuso. Machamaso means as a result of him. So he's probably indicating, he's signaling, it doesn't mean literally shlichus with a capital shin. He means shlichus with a lowercase shin. Loosely speaking. The way you're using it in the context of the workers. Kiva. Okay, wow. Yeah.
Even if it's not real shlichim, how are they still, they're still getting a chazakas, they're still getting a chazakas for themselves. They're still
they don't claim.
That they themselves got
themselves. But they don't claim that's theirs.
See, because according to Rashba, isn't it that they're kind of getting a chazaka for themselves?
No.
They are
they're living here, and they freely admit that they are living here at the authority of their landlord. The landlord gave them permission to live here, either because they're paying him or even without paying him.
So how does the shlichus work? What are they?
That's what I'm saying. It's not shlichus. That's my point. The reason why the Rajba sort of uses more fuzzy language is because it's not real shlichus, the capital shin. It's not that like we said before. If I authorize Shnei Chaim to do a kinyan chazak on my behalf, a nolgad or part, that's mamash shlichus. He's going to do a maisa and express my das bailam, and it's going to accrue back to me. Now the karka will be mine. That's mama shlichus. Here it's not literally shlichus shalom kamoso. It's not that they're doing something. If I invite you for a Shabbos Suda, and I say you can sit on my couch, you can sit on my chair, you can eat my food, that's not shlichus. That's giving you permission to use my stuff. That's she'ela. Not every shoal is a shaliach. Right? Not every soker is a shaliach. I gave you permission. It's not gezel to use my stuff. That's not the friendliest way of putting it. You shouldn't say, well, you wouldn't be stealing if you sat on my couch. But essentially, that's what you're saying. I give you permission to use my stuff. I'm not making you my shliach. Not like, now you have the right to make a chalois on the couch. If I gave you permission to be makdish my couch, and you went ahead and said, hareza a hektish, yeah, that's shlichus. If I gave you permission to make a neder on my couch, and you took a neder,
that Cohen's couch should, anyone who's taller than 6 feet is not allowed, and taking a neder is usher b'neder to sit on Cohen's couch the next month. So then that would be, sorry, so that would be, that's probably a valid neder, that's probably a valid shlichus. Yes, and you're making the chalos on my couch because I gave you the daras bottom. That's mamash shlichus. This isn't real shulchan aruch kemoso. You're not making a chalos on my behalf, you're just doing stuff because I let you do stuff. That's the difference between, again, and just to once again cut away the terminology, as we did yesterday, the word chalos, yes, you might have rebbe in the future who will say chalos, chalos toida, what type of chalos? Chalut means to, is another way, the Hebrew is saying a status change. Something was chal means something took effect. There was a status change. A status change on a person, a status change on an item, a person has a different marital status, a person has a different, an item has a different status in terms of Kedusha, an item has a different status in terms of, let's say, like your Makdash or something, you take another, or item has a different financial status, I bought it, I sold it, those are all chaluyos. A kinyan mamon is a chalos, a neder is a chalos, a heftish is a chalos, getting kiddushin are chalios, shechita is also a chalos. It creates a chalos heterachila. It used to be this meat was forbidden to eat, and now it's a new status, now it's considered to be besar shuta. Now it's mutter. Sometimes I create a chalos with my das, and sometimes there are chalios, or chalosim, or chaluyot, that are created just because of the maisa. That's what we're talking about. And again, and shlichus plays it. Shlichus is a way of authorizing people to create a chalos on my behalf and in a way that relates to me. Specifically, and that's again, going back to where we began, as Reb Chaim, maybe Reb Chanan certainly points out, that's one of the many, many, the capacity, the ability to have shlichus is one of the many, many nafkaminas in whether a particular chalos is built on das or merely on a maisa. Because the whole essence of shlichus is that I'm giving you my das, my koach bailam, as Rabbi Chanan puts it. So if it's something that's tali, a chalos is tali in das, like a kinyan mamon, or like a neder, or hafla, other types, nedarim type things, like hektish, or kinyane kiddushin, getting the kiddushin, so those are chaluyos that depend on das, so I can give you my das, and you'll do it on my behalf. But if it's a shchita or a tevila or something like that, a chalos is just driven by maisa, so what does it mean, shlichus? That doesn't make any sense. Again, you're right, there are many different cases I can let you do stuff. I can let you sit on my couch, I can let you eat my food, but that's not giving you the authority to make a chalos on my bath. I'm just giving you the authority to enjoy my stuff. It's a very different, that's not a shlichus. Yeah, one more question.
The Rashba, the whole basis for this whole story is that there's no real
So going back to the most basic, the Rav and the Rashba are having a machlokas, what is achilas peiros? They both agree there is achilas peiros. The question is, which are? The Rav said that achilas peiros is the kabal saschar, and the Rashba says, tashmish habatim huma peiros of. Using the house is the peiros. The peiros is the fact that the property is being used in the typical way it's being used, not about the revenue stream. It's about the benefit that's directly drawn from it. The benefit of a farm is literally the peiros. But the benefit of a house normally is that you're living there, if it's your own house. He says, even if it's someone else living there, their living there is your hishtamshus. Their living there is the achilas peiros, because they're having the achilas peiros at your behest, at your permission. You gave them, they're only having achilas peiros, namely the living in the house, the dira, because you gave them permission. So that's for a cheskes habatim perspective. Again, in a mezuzah, in Hilchos mezuzah, we only say two hashtamshes in the more narrow case where you have the right to tell them to leave, and where they're not a full socher. Here, so that's why it's not an exact analogy, but here it's more broadly, even if I gave them rights to it, and we have a lease contract, and I can't just pull the plug and say, well, I decide I'm moving in. Okay, but still, they are doing hishtamshin of the bias at my behest. So that's considered to be my achilas peiros that accrues to me. Achilas peiros that creates a raya on my behalf.